Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
We go back to back. Guests who have their own intro music. From Sal to Football Outsiders, Aaron Schatz, who's been on the station many times over the years. I see through his your Twitter, Aaron, you've been talking plenty of Bills lately. And also spent some time recently with Super Bowl 19. I am sort of a geek for old football broadcasts. I don't know if that's you, but I can see you were watching that game like last week.
No, yeah, so... For people who don't know, we've done our advanced stats all the way back to 1985. And I now have 1983 and 1984 pretty much ready to break down and do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking through 1984 and just saw what I thought was a really funny give-up punt by Miami in that Super Bowl. And that led me to go back and look for that punt on the video that's on YouTube, which led me to watch part of that Super Bowl. I also rewatched the Rams-Titans Super Bowl recently for another podcast that I did. So, yeah, I've been watching old Super Bowls. And the thing that amazes me the most is just how big the pads were in the 80s compared to now. You forget just how much padding those guys wore.
That I did not notice, but see how you put a note in about how Joe Theismann, an active player at the time who had played in the previous two Super Bowls, I think, or two of the three, whatever. Yeah, the previous two, was in the booth for that game, and I thought of how baseball did a lot of that. Maybe still does some of that, but like in the 70s and 80s, if you'd watch a baseball playoff series or the World Series, you'd hear Tom Seaver or Jim Palmer, you know, somebody who was active. Kind of weird.
It was connected to ABC. Apparently it was what ABC wanted was when ABC did playoffs, they wanted active athletes in the booth. And so for both baseball and football, they looked to do that. So O.J. Simpson actually got demoted to pregame show so that Joe Theismann could be in the actual booth for that Super Bowl.
So I can read about the analytics on the 85 Bills, you're saying, at Football Outsiders. Very interesting team.
Search for 1985 DVOA commentary. You'll find everything I had to say about 1985. And it's interesting going back to these old years, and you see how much the game has changed, and you see some weird things, and it's wonderful seeing those old names show up, like, you know, and go back to the 90s, and I'm just thinking of the Bills, like you get like Pete Metzelaars, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, 84, you said you're about ready to release that. 84 is one of the Bills' biggest upsets. It's a two-win team, as they were in 85, but they don't have Bruce Smith or Andre Reed yet in 84, and they beat Dallas. Was Dallas maybe 11-0 at the time? Maybe that's wrong, but they beat Dallas, I think, 14-3. Greg Bell, 80-yard touchdown or so on the first play, and it's a memorable game. I know how you've had – we've talked about it, how you had the 0-4 Bills stand out as maybe by your numbers, the best team since you started doing that to not make the playoffs.
They're close to it, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what where the 84 and 85 Bills will come in on, like, the worst teams since, you know, in the years since.
Pretty bad, but not the worst we've ever done. And I'm looking up that game now, and you've got it right. 14-3, Greg Bell, 85-yard rush at the beginning of the game. But Dallas was only 7-4 going into that game.
Okay. The Bills were 0-11.
They were 0-11.
That's what I was thinking.
That's a nice upset. That's a pretty sweet upset. Before Jim Kelly, too.
Yes, definitely. He was drafted, but he just was playing
back,
in Houston.
Back when he said he was never going to play in Buffalo, which turned out not to happen.
That's right. Well, today here, as it happens, we have a Sean McDermott contract extension to talk about. We're kind of talking in part about how it's notable that we haven't seen the Bills get to a second contract. Bills coaches get to a second contract very often in the last 20 years. McDermott, your opinion, Aaron, their defense these 3 years seems like super solid and good. The numbers back that up. How about McDermott overall as a coach?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in favor of this. I mean, he's not one of the most aggressive coaches in the league, but he's not one of the most conservative either. I mean, you know, one of the ways that I look at coaches is aggressiveness, and I would love for him to be more aggressive. But, you know, as far as putting together a defense and scheming a defense and having a defense that's been good the last couple of years when, you know, defenses tend to be inconsistent, I think he's done a really good job. He's actually just exactly in the middle of the league in aggressiveness on fourth downs.
Yeah, I thought there was some progress last year in terms of tactics, and that would be maybe last year there was a jump. I don't know, but overall what you're saying seems right. And also pass-to-run ratio. You had the Bills improve, not elite or anything on those lists, but improved. And, of course, who's on your team is a major factor in determining that. But I liked what I saw last year in that area, right from game one.
Right. I'm not a guy who talks a lot about the intangibles because I'm a stat analyst and I talk about what I know. But the fact is, when it comes to the intangibles, McDermott seems to be doing a really, really good job, right? That team feels focused. They players are learning the scheme quickly. They've done a good job. They did a great job of piecing together an offensive line that they basically put together by signing and trading for a bunch of guys and just throwing it all against the wall to see what stuck. Like, it just feels like the team is built well and managed well in the ways that are not necessarily measurable.
Have you got data handy on injuries? Because this team has also been healthy in the last couple of years.
Right, and obviously, you know, there's a little bit of luck to that. Although there's a little bit of correlation from year to year in injury levels, but not a lot of it. It does tend to revert. Mm-hmm. So they have been on defense. It's been top 10 in fewest injuries for the last 3 years. And they were about average in offensive injuries last year.
So a big part of their success this year will be keeping some of this stuff up.
They got to keep to the low injuries. One of the reasons the defense has been improving and has been good for the last couple of years is a lack of injuries. So they definitely have to keep that up.
And so how do you do it, Aaron? I mean, despite what history tells you, how do you, as a coach, as a team, what is the most you can do to maintain a top defense? Do you do that through continuity? Do you do that through variety in schemes? Or are there any analytics sort of based tricks to it, if you will?
Continuity helps. All of the things being equal, you know, teams that have been in the same scheme for 3 or 4 years tend to play better than schemes that are in the new scheme for the first year. Being a good defense without being dependent on turnovers.
Yeah.
And that's something that Buffalo was last year. Unlike, say, the New England Patriots or the Pittsburgh Steelers, they were not highly dependent on turnovers to be a really good defense. And then I think depth, which will play more of a role this year than ever before. And I think the Bills have built really well with depth on that defense. For example, I don't know if Josh Norman is going to start, but he's a pretty sweet depth piece if he doesn't start. And if he does, then Levi Wallace becomes a pretty sweet depth piece. And the same goes for along the defensive line now that they've added, you know, obviously the depth takes a hit when Latulale opts out, but they added Vernon Butler, they added Quinton Jefferson and Espinoza, whose name I, for some reason, could never pronounce correctly. And there's a lot of depth there. And I think that one of the theories about defense being more random is that because offense decides where to attack, it's harder to hide your weaknesses on defense than it is to hide your weaknesses on offense. And therefore, depth becomes more important on defense than it is on offense.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills have built depth.
Aaron Schatz with us, Football Outsiders. The Almanac is out. It was released August 1st, so you could check that out. And you can follow Aaron on Twitter, FO_A_Schatz, S-C-H-A-T-Z. In a word, maybe for all this, I would say it's credibility. You know, like, we've talked for many years, and most Bills teams you and I have talked about, with Bulldog, who's obviously not here today, but it have been in the middle of the league, you know, maybe mediocre to average, kind of hovering there for a lot of those years. And this team hasn't been a lot better than that, or even numbers-wise, until last year at least, any better than like Rex's teams. But they have a credibility that those teams, and really most Bills teams for years, have not had.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, look, they, you know, the 2015 team, by our numbers, was about as good as this team last year. But this team last year managed to win an extra game or so compared to the 2015. You know, the 2015 team lost a game more than you would expect. This team won a game more than you expect. But there is a credibility about how they've built the team, about the way that McDermott coaches. There does seem to be, you know, they've built an offense around their quarterback, certainly, both by the way that they went out and improved the offensive line and the way that they got in pass catchers. And the fact is, it helped the team that's been impossible to beat for the last 20 years took a major hit, or a series of major hits, this offseason. Now, the fact is, our projections still have New England a little bit ahead in the odds to win the division, but it's way closer than it has been in any recent year.
How do you get there? What do the numbers say about the Patriots and their being able to maintain that edge in your stats?
Well, we had them behind the Bills originally, and then they signed Cam Newton. And so the stats like Cam Newton a lot more than they like Jared Stidham, and that put the Patriots ahead. The thing is, we're expecting the Patriots to have a massive, massive regression on defense. They were very dependent on turnovers last year, and they lost more talent than any other team that we've looked at in the last 20 years. From year to year, and that is before Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung opted out, and then they lost even more talent. So the question is, can the offense make up for what's likely to be a big backwards move by the defense? Now, the fact is, because of where we have the quarterbacks, we have the Patriots' offense with Newton projected a lot higher than the Bills' offense with Josh Allen, and that makes up the difference between those two teams. And then the Patriots are also projected to be a little bit better on special teams. But like I said, it comes out really close. We end up with the Patriots in our latest simulation after the opt-outs win the division 37% of the time. The Bills win 31% of the time.
What is living in New England, Aaron? What is the consensus attitude about this season? Like, is there like a big exhale with Brady gone, but then signing Newton and this reality about the division? I don't know. I don't want to say that winning all the time can be exhausting or anything like that, but I just wonder how the fans sound to you.
Delusional?
Delusional, okay.
To be honest, they were delusional about what to expect from Jared Stidham. The belief that, you know, that this was Belichick's guy and that he was some kind of secret superstar in waiting. And I think a little delusional about what's going to happen to this defense with all the talent that it's lost, that it's going to take a major step backwards. But the place where I think everybody is, you know, excited is, I think people are excited about Cam Newton because he brings a completely different style of football and totally opens up the playbook for Belichick and Josh McDaniels in ways that they haven't ever had, except for during a couple of games that Jacoby Brissett started back when Brady was suspended.
So how do you project Newton? I don't know. I want to say that, like, doing this is harder than other players, maybe. Maybe that isn't the word for it. But he is kind of a wild card coming off a season where he was injured. And I don't know. Like, you hear a lot, at least, Aaron, that, that with Newton's career, you know, there's the 2015? Whoop. Are you still there, Aaron? We still have you? I don't know. Aaron decided to call someone else in the middle of my question. I don't know what happened there. We'll call him back. You know, Newton had that incredible MVP season. I think 15 is right. And then wasn't always that good, obviously. So I just wonder how you'd project Newton. I feel like in fantasy, where I'm spending a lot of my attention, people aren't sure, you know, relative to, compared to other players, like people aren't sure what to do with him. But I mean, I'm a fan of his, and I think it's pretty cool for the battle in the division that he's there. Aaron, we lost you in the middle of talking about Cam Newton.
Back.
We got you now.
I'm
good.
Sure. I think we assume that he's healthy, right? All reports are that he's healthy. Now, is Cam Newton as good as people? You know, it's interesting because we tend to project passing more than running, and a lot of Cam Newton's value, like a lot of Josh Allen's value, is running. It's actually a little interesting because if you think about it, the quarterback that at least we have compared Josh Allen to the most is Cam Newton, and right. Now they're competing with each other for a division title. But Newton's passing record is better, and we're assuming that he's healthy. But he's not the Tom Brady of old. But then again, Tom Brady last year was not the Tom Brady of old.
Yeah, that's right. So recently you did an article, I think for ESPN, is it, Aaron? You did teams likeliest to go from worst to first, and you came up with the Lions there. You like the Cardinals too, but the division's tougher. I saw you write that. How did that turn out? How did you get to Detroit?
Yeah, we just have the whole NFC North being very mediocre this year. The Packers were one of the worst teams to ever go 13-3. Obviously, that's damning with, you know, faint praise, but you'd rather go 13-3 and not be as good as your records than the other way around. But, you know, it suggests that they're going to take a step back this year, and then they didn't really work to fix holes in the offseason. Like, their top three draft picks are guys they may not even use that much, starting with a developmental quarterback. Then Minnesota kind of hit the salary cap wall. They lost a lot of talent. Obviously, Stephon Diggs, everyone in Buffalo knows he's gone from Minnesota. But also Everson Griffin, who is one of their major pass rushers, is gone, and a lot of their secondary is gone. So we think they're going to take a step this year. So if the Lions improve on defense with some of the personnel additions that they've brought in, like Jeff Okuda, who we really like, with the third pick overall, and Matthew Stafford played very well for the first half of last year in Daryl Bevel's offense, right? The Lions were 3-4-1 when Stafford got hurt and went 0-8 the rest of the way. So we think the Lions are a 500 team, basically. And so if they catch a little bit of luck and the rest of the division is down as we expect, that's a team that can win a division title.
I like all that, too. I wonder about the coach, and he's had the New England.
Yeah, we wonder about the coach, too. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a logical argument. I feel like when you want to bet teams, you want to take a team like Detroit. I'm often tempted to bet Detroit, and this is not analytics, I know, but because I feel like when you're so used to, when the public is so used to a team losing, that there's sort of built-in value in that. And the Lions, I mean, they're about the best example of that going.
Yeah, they have to go a different direction to coach. If they can't go near 500 this year, they've got to go a different direction to coach because the talent is there for that team to go 500.
How about in the AFC South, Aaron? The Colts are the betting favorite. It's not by much, but again this year, this seems kind of common. Well, we have one team that goes 9-7 every year. Maybe this explains it, but Indianapolis, Houston, Tennessee, if not Jacksonville, do you see much separation there?
Yeah, we've got Indianapolis as the top team in that division as well. We have them with the easiest schedule in the league, which is a big plus. Mm. It's not that we have them as great. We just have them above average on both sides of the ball. We think the Tennessee offense will take a step back. It's really hard to project that Ryan Tannehill is going to be the phenomenal quarterback that he was in the second half of last year. He'll be better than he was in Miami, I'm pretty sure, but he's not going to be what he was over the second half of last year. So we've got Tennessee, you know, as a wild card contender. Houston was the worst team in the playoffs last year. So, I mean, basically we have them doing what they did last year, but with worse luck. Although one of my writers who's from Houston has a theory that the Houston always looks worse in our numbers than they really are, because there are a couple of games each year where Bill O'Brien just gets so out-coached, the Texans get completely smacked, and so they fall in our numbers because they get blown out. And then Jacksonville's way behind. I don't have them as the worst team in the league like some people do. I've got Carolina and Washington as the worst. But, you know, Jacksonville is the clear fourth team in that division.
Yeah, they had a game like that against Denver last year at home where they were being blown out. Does that hold water, that blowout point?
I don't know. I have to look at it closer and see whether they're like more susceptible to blowouts than other teams with winning records. But there's no question Houston has outperformed its underlying stats something like four of the last 5 years.
Kind of weird in the playoffs. I mean, they were 16-0 down to the Bills, and then what, 24-0 up on Kansas City.
And then both went the other way.
Yeah, like they were really good in the middle of between those two games, but bad at the beginning and then bad at the end.
If they could just put the first half of the Kansas City game with the second half of the Buffalo game, they would have moved on.
That's it. One more, Aaron. How about like a smart Super Bowl pick? Is there a team that isn't obvious? Maybe we've talked about them. I don't know, but do you like one team in particular here?
I mean, the thing is, we have the obvious teams way ahead of the rest of the league in our odds. Like, we have, you know, Kansas City, New Orleans, and Baltimore way ahead of the rest of the league right now. And so I don't feel like it's necessarily a good year to make the long-shot Super Bowl pick. But if I was going to make one, it would either be Seattle or Pittsburgh.
All right. I'm gonna take a minute to digest that. Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders, who tweeted that the Bills have the same chance in Football Outsiders simulations of going 16-0 and 0-16, 8 out of 100,000 simulations. The Bills did each of those things.
I was in a weird mood this morning, but yeah, them and the Raiders are the other team that has the same chance of going 16-0 and 0-16. Who knew? But all this stuff, people can read all this stuff in the Football Outsiders Almanac 2020. You can get that at footballoutsiders.com or on Amazon. And I just want to mention that a portion of our proceeds this year are going to the United Way's COVID-19 Recovery and Relief Community Fund.
Great. Thank you. A non-zero chance. In my language, the Bills have, that is a non-zero chance of going undefeated or going winless. Great to talk to you as always, Aaron. Continued success.
Thank you very much. Great to talk to you, too, and good luck to the Bills this season.
Thank you. Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders. That Houston-Kansas City game in the playoffs. Houston's up 24-0. I mean, I know, we remember it, and it's also just obviously pretty wild. Not only are they up 24-0, they're up 24-0 with 10 minutes to go, or 10:01 to go in the half, and Kansas City is ahead at halftime. 4 touchdowns in the last 10 minutes of the first half to take the lead, and Houston gets one later on a Watson run, but from 24-0 to 51-31 the other way. 51-7 in the game's last, what is that, 40 minutes. 51! Wow, Chiefs. Does anybody you read not expect more of the same from Kansas City? I guess I could have asked Aaron that. Like, they are one note across all the analysis that I see. It's always just a given, or, you know, as much so as it can be, I guess, a given that Kansas City will rock this year. Change at running back, if that matters. Not necessarily even a downgrade. Probably not. And the rest of it looks nice. The one lineman, the doctor from Canada who opted out of the season, Duvernay Tardif, I think is his name. That might be costly, but seems like it's just unanimous and just a given the way it's talked about that Kansas City will kill it again on offense this year. 803-0550. We can talk NFL. Sean McDermott's contract extension today is news. The Blue Jays last night. Did you watch? Might you even been somebody who stood across the 190 looking in? I saw some small group of people doing that at least early last night. How about it if you want to react to that? The Sabre uniforms, the 5 overtime playoff game last night, a double overtime game already today. Joe will have the details on some of this coming up in just a few minutes. 803-0550 is the number. And fantasy questions. Bulldog is off to the Midwest for a few days. Door is cracked open. I'll tell you one, as many leagues as I do, there's one kind of league that I am not in, and I kind of regret it. Get you that as we go here as well. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Deion's right. You know, you go inside, you have guy on your left and your right. But, I mean, there's things that you can do at tackle that you can't do at guard. So, I mean, each position has its pros and its cons. And whenever you're at guard, you're going to have a certain mindset. Whenever you're at tackle, you got to have a certain mindset. And that's just the way that you got to look at it.
Cody Ford on the Zoom call today. Mike Shope here with Sneaky Joe. Bulldog is off rest of the week. Lines open for a while. 803-0550. Talk about the NFL. I always want to mention, because it's so top of mind, obviously, is just like this season and fans or no fans and sort of how sports rates, you know, how sports rates. I love it. I mean, I'm often in conversations where with different people who will bring up from different perspectives, like they'll bring up sports, like what's going on. And again, today, this happened a lot, you know, to a point it makes sense. Again, today it was, man, what is there to say? And I'm almost able to answer that question like the same every time because I've answered it so many times or discussed it so many times. Like, it's really not that hard. It's actually the opposite. There's tons of news, and I love big conversations, good conversations. And what is better? Well, I don't want to think about anything this year or about this as good, you know, but we're talking about one thing. We're focusing on what matters to us. And some people will have discovered maybe in these few months that sports didn't mean as much to them as they thought, or that it had a certain place, a certain importance that maybe it didn't deserve, whatever. I'm not saying that's the majority. I wouldn't know. Or if it's even that many people, but as we get close to the Bills season starts 1 month from tomorrow and there's no preseason around, there's not even any training camp that anybody can watch happening. We're just having these Zoom calls, and Sal comes on and tells us what he knows. And in 1 month from tomorrow, there are the Bills and the Jets at the stadium, and maybe none of us. And just like, how do you even put into words the strangeness of that? And I still think about a lot, like every day, because we're in here almost, you know, he's kind of forced to talk about this sometimes. It's how it feels that it's happening when it's happening without anybody there to watch it, because people being there to watch it is why they exist. It's the point of professional sports. We don't need hockey teams to play off their season to determine a champion. The only reason anybody would bother playing for money is if people were interested in following it and watching it, but we can't go. I mean, I know you know all this, but I'm sitting here and suggesting a couple of topic ideas and can't ever not mention that, because like that is the thing. The Bill season is going to happen, it seems. There's every reason to think that it will. It's on the road, headed towards September 13th, and a good-looking team at that. And all around us, we've got this Blue Jays business against a Marlins team that had to shut down, and we've got college football bailing in the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and it's just, you know, incredible. So if you have an interesting, you think, interesting perspective on sort of what you've learned, I guess, in that sense, then I'm always, and I know Bulldog would be too, he's just not here today, I'm always interested in hearing that. You want to talk about Sean McDermott's contract extension? Great. But I'm always especially interested in, okay, you out there, you're listening to this show right now, and you're maybe thinking about, or already were thinking about, maybe often, how these 5 months have changed your attitude about sports and other things. And, you know, that's something I'd like to know about. I, if you don't know, and how could you not know if you listen to this show at all, I'm in a lot of fantasy leagues. And this is the time of year when, like, the fantasy programming that I listen to, they're all mentioning, like, okay, so drafts are happening now. Here we go. These shows are on in April and May, or all year, and I'm listening to them, and enough people are listening to them, but most people that aren't are not thinking about fantasy football in those months, that time of year. I am someone who has come to be doing that, as, you know, as is Joe here, and we talk about it with each other every day. But now it's like, okay, it's the season, and one kind of question that is coming up all the time in fantasy football right now, as it does every year, this time of year, is keepers. Somebody calls in and like, hey, so what would you do here? I've got this player in round 2 or this player in round 10. Who would you keep? And that means a lot of leagues are like this. Keeper leagues tend to be like this. You can keep, say it's 2 players on your team, and the price is when you drafted them. So you drafted somebody in the first round last year, you can keep them because, or maybe there's a rule against the first round, whatever it is. Like, that's the price for keeping them, and it might get a little bit more expensive each year, like move up around. I've been in one league like that, and I know there are many. I am not in a league like that now, and I feel a little bit, I said regret. It's not regret, and I am not hungry for more leagues, believe me. Sometimes I crack and just pay for a draft and draft, but that's not being like, I don't really have an appetite. I don't have a lot of room right now for more leagues. But this one, I feel like I should be in. This kind of league is a league I think I should be in because the strategy of that interests me. I mean, they're always, well, usually, good questions. Keeping a top player for a top pick versus keeping a pretty good player for a low pick. And I like the thinking in that. So, Joe, are you in any leagues like that? I know you're in Dynasty. You're not either?
I'm not.
How do we pull that off?
Those are the best fantasy questions I feel like to answer to also.
Yeah.
Like when someone's got a fantasy question, those are the most compelling ones. Because otherwise, you can kind of just look at rankings if you really want at the end of the day.
That's right.
Whereas, like, pretty easy. Would you rather have Lamar Jackson in the 7th or Alvin Kamara in the 1st?
Right.
Like, those questions are always compelling. I'm not in a league like that. I'd like to be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I don't know how to answer them necessarily because I think there probably is a strategic path to the right answer there.
I always feel compelled to go to the value pick. If it's a lesser player, but it's 6, 7, 8 rounds later. I haven't been in a league like this, so I haven't had it in practice, but I feel like that's what my gut would say on those questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess, I mean, I'm not in a league I'm thinking of where it's like, all right, keep these 2 guys. I am in one where you keep a lot of guys. It's not quite Dynasty. Dynasty, I think, technically, is you keep everybody.
Yep.
And so I am in one where you keep, maybe it's most of your team. It feels like a different thing, though, than who do I pick between these 3? So,
well, isn't Dynasty, don't you have to have at least some guys that you have to cut? Because you got to have your rookie draft. So
yeah,
you're not necessarily keeping everybody, then your rosters grow.
What we do, I don't know if what we do is standard. I sort of wasn't sure in the beginning like how to do that. Because you are drafting, you are adding to your roster, so you got to cut at some point.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, I think is there a different way you could do that? You keep everybody always? and then you could have an unlimited or, you know, no particular limit on your roster. Just, I don't know. Maybe there are leagues like that. I think what we do is pretty close, at least, to Dynasty.
You end up at the end of the day keeping 18 of 24, right? Like that's yes. I consider that dynasty. I don't know if that's to the definition a dynasty league, but I consider it that.
We go 24 through the season, cut to 18, maybe April 1st, and then draft six more after the NFL draft, the rookie draft. And by the way, speaking of that, one particular point on the rookies, Antonio Gibson of Washington. So Darius Geis released by Washington, I mean, fast, after they got the word on his charges on Friday. Fast. So here's Washington, which already was really muddled at running back, and now Geis is gone, and Gibson is a little bit hot as a rookie. And I wanted to ask Joe, so let's say Geis had been released before our rookie draft. Where does Gibson go? I have a number.
Where did our buddy Kevin Payne pick A.J. Dillon?
11.
Then I would say 11.
I think he goes maybe 8.
Earlier. So that he's going over one of those top, one of those first round receivers.
I think I would put Gibson, but I'm just sort of spitballing here. I think I would put Gibson. There were 5 running backs who went 1 through 5.
Yep.
And then Judy and Lamb. And I'd put him next. Because running back is so key. And, I mean, he doesn't have to be good. He doesn't even have to be a running back. They're talking about him as a wide receiver anyway. But I think there is a chance that that guy
explodes. Like, that has a higher ceiling, especially this year, than the next running backs you would get to, which would be Zach Moss and A.J. Dillon.
And probably also than most of the other receivers, like a Ruggs or Reader.
Yeah. Those two, though...
Who would
I might
rather
want
have?
To fight you on those two because they're going to start right away.
This is basically you this year. Yep. If you picked 8th and it was the 7 guys I said, who do you pick 8th?
I would take Henry Ruggs.
Okay.
And I think then I would go Rager after that, and then I might go Gibson. So that's why he would be like 10th or 11th for me.
Okay. Here's Rob with us. Hi, Rob.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
So I have a topic that I think is relevant to your discussion, and I already made up my mind on this, but it could be interesting. So I'm in a league where I have Christian McCaffrey, and I won it last year, so I have the 12th pick. So my decision was between keeping Christian McCaffrey at 12th overall, which is obviously a steal, mm-hmm. or Devin Singletary in the 11th round.
Easily McCaffrey for me. Easily.
Yes.
You agree?
My selection as well.
Yeah. I mean, especially when it's him. Like, even if it's Ezekiel Elliott, say, I think I would say the same thing, but especially when it's McCaffrey, who's like clear-cut number one.
Yeah, for sure. I just thought, you know, with the upside of the other keepers that could be there,
mm-hmm.
Obviously maybe not getting somebody as good as McCaffrey, but another running back that's in a, you know, first or second round tier and keeping Singletary could have put me in a good position at least there, but still going to keep McCaffrey.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Rob, for bringing that to us. And maybe it's even it's a blowout. It might be interesting a little bit if instead of McCaffrey, again, it's like, say, Dalvin Cook. And instead of Singletary, it's, I don't know, it wouldn't be Josh Jacobs. He was drafted earlier than that.
What about Montgomery?
Montgomery. I don't want Singletary. I mean,
I don't.
I like him.
I'd be trying to trade him if I had him somewhere.
I just don't know. Like, they won't. Are they going to throw to him? They don't throw that pass. Like, I don't think that's the plan here, and it wasn't before. And Moss is Gore only better, and Allen is your touchdown scorer. So tell me what I get from Singletary. Now, there is disagreement on this. I'm not necessarily in the consensus on Devin Singletary because I hear lots of people pumping him up. He's not expensive in drafts, really. I mean, last year, as it was playing out, you might have thought he'd be more expensive this year, but the Moss pick and other factors around the league, it really hasn't been like that. Are you looking that up, his price?
His ADP. I can look it up real quick.
So at some point, everybody becomes a good pick because it's just everybody passes over and over and it's cheap enough. But Moss is the guy I want. Of the Bills, Moss is the guy I want. Of all the Bills' offensive players, he's the guy I want.
He's going 23rd for running backs, 49th overall. So what is that? That's the
49th. Okay, first pick around 5.
Yep.
No
right behind James Conner, David Johnson, Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, come on, Joe, right? Like, you'd want all three of those guys more.
Behind him, yeah, I would. Behind him, DeAndre Swift, David Montgomery, Cam Akers, Mark Ingram, Raheem Mostert.
Singletary's ADP is above Montgomery's?
Yep.
I think that's weird.
I would take him maybe over those rookies in redraft, but I wouldn't take him over Montgomery. That is lock-solid volume that you're getting from Montgomery.
I'm going to look up projections on Singletary to try to, like, pinpoint that a little bit more. Again, thanks, Rob. 803-0550. Mike Shope with Sneaky Joe. Bulldog is off today. This is WGR.
They would be a favorite only based on the fact that they've won this thing for how many years in a row now, and that they, you know, are always a winning team, always a playoff team, and often a Super Bowl team. That's why you would pick them now. On paper, you really couldn't pick them based on those losses that you just mentioned. And they lost some players who are key to what they do. They ended up not losing, I think, a couple who apparently considered it but decided to opt in. Listen, they're going to be formidable. You know, New England's never going to be an easy out with that operation up there, but they're going to be much, much different, obviously, than they have been.
Kim Jones this morning on WGR from NFL Network. The one point she says, you couldn't pick them, New England, based on what they look like on paper. I don't think I would say that. I think you could. I don't think the only reason that they're considered about a co-favorite in the division is legacy. I don't think it's that. But real good stuff with Aaron Schatz today, also with Sal Capaccio about them. I mean, what do you think? Like, in sports, you are the team to beat until you get beat. And even Tom Brady quitting your team doesn't change that for me. Like, you are the team to beat until you've been beaten. And that's it. That doesn't mean you have to be the favorite either. It's not the opposite of what she said. But, you know, they don't have to be the favorite, and they're really not. It is reasonable to consider the Bills as less than a juggernaut, you know? Like, it's two parts. Is New England going to be bad? You know, there are people who think they'll be bad. Or did, at least before Newton. But maybe. And also, are the Bills going to be good? What the Bills are for me is, it's impressive. It's an impressive turnover in 3 years from an okay team, a mediocre team, to a good team. But you get the credit, you get the status as a team to beat when you're more than that. Once you have to be more than that. Who knows? It's fun to think about, to say the least. It's fun for me, whether it's the Bills or anyone, to think about, is this team, which is kind of like a hype team, worth it? Are they going to be as good as that kind of talk? And the Bills are a great example in the league this year for that. You don't have to have been a playoff team either. Like, I mean, Aaron Schatz was talking about Detroit. There's some of that. Not as much of it. They're not the Bills for expectations this year at all, but you know, you have those teams that, is this the year, basically? And again, we're just over a month away. It's a month and a day until week one. Sean McDermott extended today. That's been in the news. 803-0550 is the number. Talking about Devin Singletary, mostly from a fantasy standpoint a few minutes ago. We'll do more of that. What did you think of the Blue Jays and the scene last night, if you watched it? I made sure to see the beginning and really was impressed and excited. So lines are open for you on that as well. 803-0550. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here with the update after this on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.